destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Turn now to hymn number 477, At Calvary.
Oh,
you please stand now as we sing hymn number 138, Christ Arose.
Before prayer, I give you some briefings on the church and for those who we are praying. Connie Collins from Ohio, it's one of our listeners, went into very serious surgery last Monday and passed through very well and now is in recovery. My daughter Miriam is in full recovery and my wife is still there for another week and hopefully she will be back the coming Saturday, and she will be for recovery, all right? And we are very grateful to the church for the care and the love showing in the memorial service of our good brother Ron Nichols, now enjoying forever with a perfect voice and a perfect body in the presence of the living God. And we are thankful to God for the testimony on the gravesite and on the church service last Friday, as we talked about it, and we spot a fellow that could be a preacher one day, a brother Mark, who did a great testimony about how Ron said to the family, good night and no goodbye before dying. That impressed my heart that Ron will say that. And I called our brother Ortiz and let him know that the videotape that our brother Pereira have made, the Bible that we have left and the lessons of Mama brought fruit into the heart of this young man at 48, and he found the Lord and the Lord found him. And that was a great joy to have the memorial service. So let's pray now and let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come as a church body again into the holy presence of the living God. And we are there because of the great work of Jesus as our high priest. He takes our prayer and he brings it into your presence. And we love that, Father. And we pray that this morning, as we fellowship with one another, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we look upon Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, we pray that he be glorified. And if someone is here this morning, or perhaps listening over the airways of KKNC or KKXX, or perhaps in the tape ministry or in the internet, Father, we pray that Christ be real to them. And in your mercy and grace, you will clearly show the glory of the mighty Christ so that someone may come and believe in Jesus. This is our goal. This is why we open the doors of this church, Father, to lift up Jesus. And you promise that if we lift up Jesus, you will draw all men unto you. Father, we pray for those people in need, and we are glad that Connie Collins, Miriam Lacey, and others people in the family of God are in the recovery site of their sickness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And also, Father, we are thankful that last Friday, as we dismissed our brother Ron Nichols, we gave testimony of who Jesus is. And Father, how Ron was a different man 2 years ago, but because of your mercy and grace, he found peace with God. And then in the last years of his life, he became a totally different person. We thank you, Lord, for the witnessing of the service. And we pray that those families and friends that were here may go home with not only the impression of the love of God in this church, but also that we love Jesus more than anything else because he loved us first. Father, I pray that during this service, each one of us may set up in our mind this time just to listen to the glorious praises of God by the choir and the reading of God's word and the preaching of God's word. And I pray, Father, that you anoint my lips, that I may present Christ and Christ alone, that the people may go home with the power and the glory of Jesus in their heart so that they can glorify you more. Oh, Father, help me, because always I feel unfit for the ministry, like Isaiah did. Lord, we have missionaries together with the tape ministry and the voice over the KKMC and the voice over the internet and the voice over the CD. Lord, we pray that those missionaries of ours be encouraged by thy presence and their ministry. Our brother Fred and Carol Lewis now in America and reputation around the churches. We pray that they may have a wonderful time as they have the opportunity to come from Ukraine and visit with their daughter. Father, for Carol and Ruth Knott, they are considering moving from Huasca, northern Spain, to Sevilla, Rye, and south. And Father, we pray that your wisdom be known unto them so that they make the move if need to be so. Father, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez, these are our beloved missionaries in Benalmadena, Spain, and Costa del Sol. Lord, they are in a very difficult area. They are in the area where tourists go. And Lord, people, the last thing they think is going to church. But our brother has started a Spanish church and an English church and is doing well. And we praise your name for. Father, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the middle of chaos. Lord, for Ruben and Irene Zachert in Lodi. For Daniel Lacey, as he starred in a week, the season with the races and every place in America, that he may be used of you with might and with power, and that he may rest upon the power of God for his supply. Lord, I know that you're going to supply when a man launched himself to preach Christ and to be witness in the most difficult area with successful people, with people who do not want to hear about the gospel unless an accident happened. And so, Father, help Daniel. Give him words. Give him power, encouragement. Wrap him up with your power so that he may be used mightily in the kingdom of God. There will be no greater pleasure treasure for me, Lord, that to see my son-in-law involved in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ directly, eye to eye, with those who do not have Jesus. There will be no greater joy in my heart than to see my daughter and my son-in-law involved in the ministry of preaching Jesus Christ to the nations. Oh, Father, help Danny and cause him to be confident in you, because you have the power to save. And Lord, for Martha Barethi, as she deal with the drug addicts in Argentina, and as she see a fruit here and a fruit there, Lord, encourage her. When 4 people out of 40 profess Christ, that is great success, oh Father. And I pray that Martha and her husband, who are dedicating their life to shine for Christ in that difficult place, you may encourage them and may give them strength and power in the midst of Argentine's difficulties. And Lord, for us who live in prosperity, who live in peace, help us never to forget that we are here to be living witness of the most gorgeous, the most wonderful God that ever existed. The only God who has power to save. The only God who has power to penetrate our life and break our stone heart and make us alive. Oh God, bless us and bless us more so that we can dedicate our life to the ministry. And Lord, I thank you personally for the provision that your people give every Sunday to the ministry of the gospel in this church. And so bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated, please.
Oh,
Choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 620. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came upon the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that, again, we can come into your presence because of the source of every blessing, our Lord Jesus Christ. We confess, Father, that we do not always attain to the conduct of our lives in a manner that your law requires. And so we praise you and thank you for your greatest gift, your Son, to die for our sins, and for the merits of Christ put to our account. We thank you for such a great salvation. As we consider the scripture today and the empty tomb, we are amazed at your graciousness to us and how this great event affects us throughout eternity. Though our words are inadequate, we can only say again, thank you, Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for our pastor, your servant, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless him as he comes to expose your word. Give us understanding that we may apply it to our lives and do your will. Bless any who do not know you who are listening here or on the radio or the internet, that they may believe and be saved. We thank you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
During the month of January, we talk about faith, greatest enemies. Then in February, and due to the fact that we have the Feast of Love, we talk about love all the Sundays. Now, the month of March, in an unusual way, carry on the resurrection on the last Sunday. And we're going to talk during the month of March about the Easter experience. The Easter experience. Rather than having one sermon on the resurrection, let us have four sermons and enjoy ourselves and see the resurrection from every perspective, one time from Luke like today, another time from Matthew, another time from Mark, from John, and then from the people who left in the book of Acts. Now, the meditation this morning is going to be based upon only one verse, even though we're going to go through the entire passage, verse by verse. But the heart of the message is centered on the key verse on the reading that our brother have done, and is verse 5. As you look in your Bible in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, in verse 5, page 620, if you are using the Bible in the pew, the Bible said, and as they refer to the women that came to the sepulchre, as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, and these are the angels talking to them, why seek ye, or why do you seek the living among the dead? Now that will be the first sermon on this series entitled The Easter Experience. The first sermon then will be, why do you seek the living among the dead? See, some women, in verse 10 tell you who they are, some women were looking for Jesus in a cemetery. And I don't want to pick on women, but also men today and women, men and women, look for Jesus in a cemetery. And so you're going to see the great lesson that we will have for us. And as these women were looking for Jesus in a cemetery, they were instructed otherwise by an angel. You are looking in the wrong place. You are looking for the person that you are looking doesn't live here. Now, if you have a difficulty in the Easter story, and many people do have difficulties in the Easter story, it is understandable. It is so incredible, that we ought to have difficulty with it. I never find a man in the natural state believing. I remember working years and years and years ago in my engineering days, and we were designing a bridge, and we were talking, and we were tired. We can't find the ground where to put one pillar. And before we signed the paper, we said, well, we're going to take a walk and refresh our mind and come back to the drawing. And the engineer beside me did with me, and he said, Gabriel, by the way, I know you're a religious man. I know you bring your Bible to work, and at lunchtime you read your Bible. Tell me, do you believe in the resurrection story? Now, he was also a religious man. He was from another faith, a Christian faith, another same denomination, but he had difficulty in believing the resurrection. And I don't blame it. It's an unbelievable story. The Bible is asking you to believe that someone dead and decomposing for 3 days became alive again. That's what the Bible is asking you to believe. You understand me? The Bible is asking you to believe, doesn't matter what denomination you belong to, those who are here in the auditorium and those who listen over the airways of KKMC, or the internet, or whatever, or in the tape ministry, or later on in a CD, as you drive your car and listen to this sermon, the Bible is asking you to believe that someone dead and decomposing for 3 days became alive again. If initially you are a skeptic or cynic, you have a good reason to be. At least you understand the issue. The issue is very serious. The issue that God placed in your hand here is serious. It's so serious that it's impossible to believe with our natural mind. That's how serious it is. So let me go over the passage with you. And Brother Plika had done a good reading of Luke 24. And I'm going to go over the passage with you and see what happened there historically. See the history of the passage. And then bring the lesson, the spiritual lesson, that passage bring to us from the resurrection standpoint. First of all, the women were the first to learn about the resurrection of Jesus. The women were the first. If you look in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23, verses 50 to 55, you get the background why the women were there. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 and verse 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just man. And the same had not consented to counsel and to the council and deed of them. He was Arimathea, a city of the Jew, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. He was a believer. This man went unto Pilate, the governor, and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulcher that was hewn in a stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And look at verse 55. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, follow after, and beheld the sepulchre. They knew where the sepulchre was, and how his body was laid. Now these women knew exactly where Jesus was located. You can see that. These women, this is the background. Jesus' burial was there, and that is where you find the women. They want to know, what are they going to do with Jesus? And they find it where Jesus really was. It's very proper. You want to find, you go to a cemetery and you want to find out where your loved ones are. And these ladies want to find firsthand before. Now,
verses 55, touch with verse chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And so now the body was placed without embalming into the sepulchre. And so verse 1 in chapter 24 tells us that they came to the cemetery to embalm Jesus in the Egyptian format that was at that time. The Egyptians were the masters in medicine at that time, and they have a format for embalming. And so they learned that practice. A member of your family will do that. And so they will come in and do that. And the women came to embalm him. They came without hope, resigned to his death. I want you to know that. These are women who believe in him. They stood at the cross when Jesus died. The men took off, but the women were there, right there. They bear the pain. They took it in. Their hope of life was gone on that cross. But now, in great love, even though in an unbelief, they came over there, and they were ready to embalm the Lord Jesus. The terror of the Good Friday was over. Remember, Jesus was crucified on Friday. The grief of Saturday is still with them, and they came mourning to prepare his body for the long journey of decomposition. They said, we're going to prepare that body so that it will decompose peacefully. They came with no faith that anything could happen. That's how they came. Let me tell you a story that I read from an English newspaper commenting about a church of the last century. It was in a farm country, and the crops were being ruined. The local preacher decided to hold a prayer meeting to ask God to send the rain. He asked all of those who believe in God's power to do so, joining him at 4 o'clock in this prairie church. Now, when the hour came, the church was almost filled. But when the preacher got up and took a look around, he said, this meeting is called off. And everybody looked to each other. Look at what he said. He said, we don't have the faith to pray. I don't see a single umbrella here. You got it? They came to pray just for praying. And there are some people that they go to church just for going to church. And there are some people that they read the Bible just for reading the Bible. And there are some people that they said, well, I'm a Roman Catholic, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Christian Reform, I'm this and the other, but there is no faith on it. Do you see the picture? These women, they love Jesus. Don't get me wrong. They love Jesus so much, they were ready to embalm him and to take care of him as the last thing to do for Jesus. We have no hope whatsoever that Jesus will rise again, even though he told them. And I'm going to show you in a minute. Even though he told them, they are going to rise again. But you know, we read the Bible, and we consent that there is truth. And we say, yes, sir, it's in the Bible. But do we believe it? I like the story of that preacher when he saw his congregation without umbrella. The women came to the cemetery, but with no faith and no expectation. And I'm going to draw the spiritual lesson. Remember these things, because I'm going to draw one by one at the end and see how that feeds together. So we have the women who saw where the body was placed, and now they come to the cemetery to do the last thing for Jesus with no hope and no faith. Now the women were met by two angels at the cemetery. Look in verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, I read it again. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, a picture of heavenly angels before them. Now, first of all, they asked the women what they were doing in the cemetery. Look in verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they say unto them, why do you seek the living among the dead? What are you doing here in a cemetery? Well, listen, that sounds ridiculous. These women saw where Jesus was placed. Remember the previous verse in Luke 23? They saw what tomb Jesus was in. And now, these guys, these two angels, they're saying to her, what are you doing over there? And secondly, they remind the women of Jesus' own prophecy that on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Look at verse 6. This is what the angel said. He is not here, but risen. Wow. And then the key word in the text, you see it? In the American Standard, is in capital. That's good. Remember? Wow. See, if you read the Bible, God can use the Bible that you know in your head. Remember? See, if you never read the Bible, I can never tell you, remember. But if you read the Bible, I can help you. I can say to you, remember? And this is what the angel said. Remember how he spake unto them, and did this, and this, and the other. Where did he say that? Let's put one hand in Luke, and let's go to Matthew 16. If you go to Matthew 16, you find in Matthew 16 and verse 21, you find the reference that the angels is saying. Now, remember, these women have to remember the action. There were women who lived with Jesus for 2 or 3 years. So these women have to remember what Jesus said. It's easy for us than for them, because we have the Bible. If we don't remember, we can go back to the Bible and read it again. But these women have to recall in their memory what Jesus said. And here is what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and in verse 21. This is a self-prophecy. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Very clear. Jesus showed them. Jesus taught them. Jesus repeated those words, and they knew it, but they do not believe it until this point. So here we have women's who met the angels in the cemeteries, and the angels said, come on, recall in your mind what Jesus said, will you? Go back in your mind and refresh your mind, we said, and see what Jesus said. He's not here. Now, when the women hear this, the women rush off to the apostles. These women's were the most reliable witness now, and became witness. Look in verse 8 and in verse 9, going back to Luke chapter 24. And we read in Luke 24 and in verse 8, and they remember his words. All right, the women remember the words. They say, yeah. You know, when somebody recalls you in your mind, they said, don't you remember these texts in the Bible? And they give you a few words, and you say, yeah, that's what it is. And that's what happened. And they remember his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. They became a living witness. Verse 10 tells you who are at least few names of the women involved there. So they said, wow, this is amazing. Let's go and tell the apostles, thinking that the apostles being people who follow Jesus, disciples of Jesus, teachers of Jesus, they will say wonderful. But look at verse 11. The apostle who had spent 3 years intimately with Jesus, who had trusted their lives to him, simply dismissed the witness of the women. Look at verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. In other Bibles, you will find the word nonsense. And their words seems to them as nonsense. And they believed them, what? Not. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. When talk about the resurrection, that's hot spot. We say that's hot potato. When we talk about the resurrection, you can believe any doctrine, anything about this, about the other, but the doctrine to believe in order to be saved is the resurrection. You can be a master in anything you want, but if you don't believe the resurrection, you are in hot water. The women were simple. They say, yeah, Jesus said it, I believe it. But the apostles, to analyze this, wait a minute. And so we have the first analysis of the situation, Peter. If you look in verse 12, Peter said, I need the facts. Have you heard people saying that you, when you witness about Jesus, I need the facts. So Peter was one of them, said, I need the facts. All right, let's go. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves, or being the wraps only. Wow. And departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. No yet believing, is that right? No yet believing. He said, wow, mamma mia, what in the world happened here? He perhaps thought somebody stole the body. But how can they do that and leave all the wrappings perfectly there? See, it was not in disorder. It was not like somebody wrap up the body and leave all in a mess and run. No. Somebody could come over there and cut those wrappings and leave the wrapping over there and take the body away. No, they were like Jesus smooth out and the whole thing just touched like that. Amazing. It's gone. So we have Jesus' appearance in resurrection now in an amazing way. Peter, see the facts, he cannot believe it. Now, two disciples are instructed by Jesus in the Word of God. Look at the same chapter 24, verse 27. Now we have two disciples. You know, these are the famous disciples. They came from Emmaus. They go back to Emmaus from Jerusalem. They are coming down the hill from Jerusalem to the valley of Emmaus. And they were talking really desperate. We lost the master. We put our faith in the master. And Jesus joined them. And look at what he said. He did not say, look me. Look at what he said. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the thing concerning himself. Jesus used a tool that will revive people today. He used the Word of God. Our facts about the resurrections are not on the issue that we cannot find the body of Christ in a tomb. Our facts of the resurrections are in what the Bible says. Now, the disciples are still unbelieving, so Jesus appeared to them. If you see by verse 30 and so, the disciples are gathering together. And look at verse 44. Now he's talking to, not to two people, but he's talking to the disciples. And in verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. They were shocked when they saw Jesus. And so Jesus has to remind them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. That's the way you divide the Hebrew Bible. You said Moses, prophet, Psalms. That's the way you divide the Hebrew Bible. I have Hebrew Bible in my office all the time with me, and that's the way the division goes, from right to left. First Moses, then the prophets, then the Psalms, which include many writings like Ecclesiastes. Now, Jesus used the scripture. Jesus said, now, you don't believe me? Well, I tell you, here's what the scripture says. Jesus used the scripture. He was present. He was right there from the tomb and is still shaken. But he used the scripture. Because the scripture is the only thing that had life on it. The scripture is what produced the spark of life into the heart of people. Now, that's the story. Now, let me go to the spiritual factor of this story. What is the lesson for us? Tell me, in what cemetery are you looking for Jesus? And I want to give you some options. In what cemetery are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking in the cemetery of science? Look at what the Bible said about science in 1 Corinthians in chapter 20, in chapter 1, page 671. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says in verse 20 and verse 21. Where is the wise? And what is the scribe? What is the disputer of this world? Hath no God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleases God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew in a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. You see, what is science? What is science? Well, science is a cemetery. Science is a cemetery. The Bible tells us here, what is the wisdom? What is science? Science is a cemetery. You go nowhere with science. You're gone. All the facts you have in life is science. You're gone. It's in the preaching of the gospel, the secret. Now, some people said, I'm a naturalist, means I believe in nature. God is in nature. Are you looking in the cemetery of nature? There's a lot of people. There's an entire country, the country of Brazil in South America. They worship nature. They go in the night and they worship the moon. And they throw bananas on the beach so the moon can come down and eat. And you say, how stupid they are. But look it. We are no better than those people. Look at in Romans chapter 1. Look at what God already get ahead for us in Romans chapter 1. And start reading in verse 21. Look at what happened to man. This is the cemetery of nature. Romans chapter 1 in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or futile in their imagination or in their expectation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and I'm going to change the word change for the word exchange in verse 23, and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God unto the image made like the corruptible man, unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to impurity through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Nature, the cemetery of nature. If you worship nature, you're going to end up worshiping a piece of wood or something that is not valid whatsoever. And that's what man did then and doing today. And when I tell those people they worship an image and so on, and I said, why you do that? He said, well, just to help me. An image will not help you, my friend. The only help is the Word of God. So you're looking in the cemetery of science? You're looking in the cemetery of nature? And some people said, well, no, the sky speak of God. And they look in the cemetery of astronomy. And they are very good on it. They know the stars and they know this and know the other. And the Egyptians were masters in this. I mean, the Egyptians were the top notch in calculating all the stars for navigation they needed. But is in astronomy the answer? Look at with me. Psalm 19 in the Bible. In verse 1. Look at what the Bible said about astronomy. Psalm 19 in verse 1. It's amazing how clear it is. Psalm 19 in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament show his handiwork. And now here we are sending and spending millions of dollars, sending just another envoy into the sky to repair the telescope so that we can look more. So I call to NASA and I said, I'm interested in what do we expect to see? He said, we expect to see, because I'm a taxpayer, and I want to withdraw my 2 cents of taxes from this business, because I know what is beyond there. And they get cuckoos like me all the time. But and they are patient with it. And they say, sir, we're scientific people, and when we get the telescope repaired, and they're going to draw it to the ship, and millions of dollars of your money and my money, and we're going to put it back over there. And what do you expect to see? He said, we don't know, but we're going to see something. Like what? What are you looking for? Because, you know, if you want to see something, you have to start by saying what I'm looking for. What are you looking for? So we don't know. Well, why you spend money and looking something you don't know? She said, sir, this is done by the United States of America. Yeah, how stupid we are. How stupid. What do you want to know? You want to know God. I said, that's what you want to know. But you can't find it with a telescope. And how do you find it? See, they want to know God. The guy took the bite, and he said, and how do you find it? I said, very simple. You read the Bible. Oh, you must be a preacher. Yes, sir, and I hung up. But that's what the Bible said. The heaven declare the glory of God. That's what it is. And you think it's only in the Old Testament? Look in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1. Look in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 10. Look at how clear it is here. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. You see that? So are you looking in the cemetery of astronomy? Are you looking for Jesus in a cemetery? Well, what is Jesus, Pastor? I tell you what is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 7, we study this every Sunday. For 52 Sundays, I study in this verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Is that clear? In the volume of this book, it is written of me. There is no other place you can find the Lord Jesus and God. There is no other place, not in the cemetery of science, no in the cemetery of nature, no in the cemetery of astronomy. You find Jesus within the pages of this book, and you find God within the pages of this book. And then, Pastor, after I find it, what should I do? In Hebrews chapter 3, Israel have found God through Moses. And look at what God said. Look at the admonition. Hebrews 3 and verse 15. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. And what means harden the heart? Look at verse 19. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Because of unbelief. My friend, if you remain in unbelief, if you remain in the stubbornness of saying, I will not look upon the Word of God, you one day will stand before that God, not as a child of God, but in the judgment day. One day you'll be confronted by God in charge of sin that you cannot cure yourself. Why? Because God has sent his Son to look for sinners like you and me. and to lay down his life. As I said in the memorial service, Christ have come and put a bridge between man and God. And then when you walk in that bridge, you arrive to God. If you do not walk in that bridge, you stand before the high tribunal of God, where he's going to judge forever and ever in hell. So is God really terrible? No. God is just. He has provided for you information, the Bible. Don't look in the cemetery. Are you looking for Jesus in the cemetery? Please just stop and go into the Bible. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are life, and the Spirit of God give light. May you be found in grace of God. May you, even though a religious person, may come to believe in the Lord. Then you know you're on the way to heaven. Ron Nichols said, good night. He did not say goodbye. He said good night, because Psalm 138, I went home after Mark testified, and I looked that word good night. The opposite is good morning. And I look at good morning, and Psalm 138 said, and there will be a good morning when the sunshine will appear. Yes, for those who believe. Do you believe? May God enhance your heart to believe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that today we look upon that Eastern experience, that Easter experience, and we saw the Dr. Luke give us a glimpse of the joy of finding Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the guidance that he is not in the cemetery of life, but he is in the pages of thy word. May each one of us be found believers. And may this Lord's Supper be a celebration that Jesus has given us life and light and love. In his name we pray. Amen.
Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along our several way. He lives, he lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, he lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Dulilo, please, and Joby, wherever you are, and then Brother Victor, if you people will come in, and we're going to serve the Lord's Supper. I just briefly going to tell you that in Matthew 26, verse 26, Jesus was celebrating the last Passover, and in a remarkable way, Jesus introduced himself as the Lamb of God. You may be seated. In verse 26, in Matthew 26, give us the clue. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to the disciples. And he said, take it, this is my body. Not a symbol of his body, but representation of his body. Now we have the real body right there present. The Bible says also that Judah, a betrayer of the Lord Jesus, partake of the Lord's Supper. So there is no biblical power to suppress anybody from the Lord's Supper. You have to judge yourself. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? I'm not saying if you're a member of a local church. Anybody can be a member of a local church. But are you a believer? If you are a believer, please, we welcome you to participate of the Lord's Supper with us. And by doing so, you are saying, the Lord Jesus, I'm part of the body of Christ, that celestial body that will never change. That body that is universal. And I like this church. We have Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Argentinians, some Americans. It's just fantastic. All right? It's just fantastic. That's heaven for you. That's heaven for you. Who knows? It was, even the Arabs were so rebellious. They will be in heaven because it was in Assyria that the light came first. So, my friend, we got a glimpse wrong sometimes of the church. The church is a mixture. It's a remarkable mixture of people that God has saved. And Jesus said, that's the body of Christ. And I welcome you as the deacons will serve you. Nobody's going to ask you a question. It's between you and God. If you believe, remember, it's not if I'm a member, not if I'm baptized. The man, the thief at the cross, he was not baptized, but Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. All right? So make the deacons stand, please. And we're going to ask Brother Victor to pray and to thank God for giving us his body. Amen.
And Lord, the only reason we know that you live is because of your mercy that you've imparted this knowledge into our hearts, and for this we are truly thankful, Lord. And so, as we take of this bread, Lord, it is just a reminder of the work, the glorious work that you did for us on the cross to give up your life for us that we might have life. For this we do thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.